Good morning. That was great. It is indeed a pleasure to be here and to be joining our voices together in song and to pray to our God and to also to read verses from His divine will. And we can share all that together. And that makes it even more special. This morning we are going to talk about integrity. The reason I asked Tad to lead nearer, still nearer, it's the line, "Sin with its follies, I gladly resign. Give me but Jesus, my Lord crucified." That represents a complete and a total surrender of our lives, of our hearts to God. And integrity is the totality of who we are and how we live. So to begin with, in 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, this is what is written. "Now if you walk before me," he's talking about Solomon, "if you walk before me as your father David walked in integrity," in integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded you, "and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever." According to all that God has said and told David. If Solomon follows in David's footsteps, then the kingdom will be established forever. But he must walk in integrity. In Proverbs 28 and verse 6, says this, "Better is the poor who walks in integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich." You see, integrity encompasses the whole of everything. And we talk about integrity sometimes, I think, without thinking about what it means. And we can all think of people that we've known in our lives that we think are men and women of integrity. And they very well may be. But the way that you know and the way that you find out is watch the way that they live and what is first in their lives. But what Jehovah is asking us to do is to walk in integrity, to live it out in your life, in everything that you do. So when we look at the word integrity, it is the quality or state of being complete or of wholeness. Not just one activity, but all of wholeness. It is entireness. It is uprightness. It is the simplicity which is remote from mischief or ill design. Integrity means that truth characterizes your life. The whole of your life, not just one aspect of your life. It is a man who does not live a fractured life. In other words, it is not divided, but it is pure. His life is not splintered, but it is not double-minded. That encompasses everything. everything that we do. And if you look at some of the ways that we can see integrity in different aspects of our lives, maybe it would help us put it all together. For instance, if you remember over in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus chapter 1, when Paul writes to these preachers about elders, it said he's asking Timothy and Titus to present these characteristics to the people that these men who are aspiring to be elders do it with a whole heart, with all of their lives. These men that Paul describes possess, if they possess these characteristics, they possess a mark of character, which is integrity. We need to show the world that the Christian faith produces good men, that Christianity develops and molds character if we make it a part of our life and everything that we do. A man of God demonstrates his character. There is relational integrity. In other words, his integrity comes forth in all of his relationships in life, in the home, at the job, in any situation. And the people that work with him and that are surround him, they know of his integrity because of what they have observed and what it is that they have seen. Then there is personal integrity. These are things that this man does and the things that he chooses not to do. It's not always about what we're choosing to do. Oftentimes it's a matter of what we're choosing not to do that defines us and helps us. His life preaches a sermon on holiness. These men of integrity. Then there is doctrinal integrity. In other words, this man resists the temptation to bend God's truth to fit the culture and to fit the norm of the day. That is such a great temptation for us to take what God says and then bend it to fit the culture or bend it to fit what I want. Doctrinal integrity says, I will not, under any circumstance, do that. With my whole heart, I will give my life to God. A man of God, a man of integrity, this man's character is discernible. In other words, it's something you can see. In Psalm 7 and verse 8, the psalmist says this. He says, the Lord shall judge the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity within me. You see, the truth of the matter, some people are honest or some people have great integrity, maybe in a particular aspect of their life. But a man of integrity is that in all of his life, in everything. And I'll give you an example. There's a story that is told about a man. He and the woman that he was with were going to have a picnic, so they go by a fast food restaurant and they make their order, and the people at the restaurant bring a sack of food for them to take when they went on their picnic. So he pays the guy and they're off to the picnic. So when they get to where they're having the picnic, what happens is that he opens the sack that he was given, and lo and behold, there were $800 in it. They had given him the wrong sack. And he discovered that after he had left and gone to where they were having their picnic. So he got in his car. He drove back to the fast food restaurant. He gave the money back to the people there. And the manager of the restaurant was taken aback, and he couldn't believe that this man did that because it had never happened to him before. People just didn't do that sort of thing. They would keep it and go on with their life. This guy went back, gave him the money back, and the manager said to him, said, look, don't go anywhere. I am so excited that you did this that we're going to put it in the newspaper. And the guy that is driving the car and paid for it kind of lowers his voice a little bit. No, please don't do that. Because the woman that I'm with is not my wife. Now, I don't know if it's a true story or not. But yet what it tells us is that you can have integrity in one part of your life and not in others. And that's what this man did. I mean, yeah, he was honest in this one arena, but when his life was supposed to be a picture of integrity and honesty, it failed. Because he didn't apply it to the whole and to everything that he did. Integrity means that truth characterizes your whole life, not just in a few places. Every area of our lives need to be governed by what God has said and by God's truth. If we don't do that, we are not men and women of integrity. There's a story in the book of Esther about a queen and her king, her husband. Is that the king was going to have a party, for lack of a better word. He had people from all around coming. And so he told his wife, the queen, Queen Vashti, that I want you to come in here and show off your beauty to all of these men. In other words, I want you to parade around and show off and so they can see your beauty. She said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not a thing. And I'm not going to flaunt in front of everybody else. I'm not going to do that. Well, what happened was some of the kings that had come to partake of the party is that they were concerned because Vashti said no, and they were concerned about how that was going to affect the whole kingdom. She stuck to her guns. She did not budge. She did not acquiesce. She was deposed as a result of that, but she did not give in. I believe she was a woman of integrity with what she did. Then there are the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3. And then there's Daniel in Daniel 6. And they presented this dilemma about because the king and the people want everybody to bow down and to worship the idols that they have erected. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused. They ended up in a fiery furnace. Daniel refused to worship anyone or to pray to anyone except Jehovah God. And he was thrown in the lion's den. These were men and women of integrity. They lived by their principles. They refused to sell out to the world. Don't we do that sometimes? We don't think about the effect that decisions are going to have. We don't think about the influence that we have. We just kind of rock along, thinking that we are doing the best that we can, but failing to apply the principles that God has given us in every aspect of our life. In other words, These people refuse to sell out to the world. Other people have a tendency to sell out. If we are going to be men and women of integrity, then our life must demonstrate it. In whatever arena it may be, our life has to reflect it. In Psalm 25 and verse 21, this is what the psalmist says. It says, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you." Psalm 41 and verse 12 says, "As for me, you uphold me in my integrity and set me before your face forever." My relationship with God. David talks about his relationship with God and the part and the role that integrity plays in that. But there are three arenas and three ways that we can demonstrate integrity. The first one is that people of integrity are going to guard their hearts. They're going to guard their hearts. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, Jesus says, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." That says something about the totality of who we are. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Our lives must be a consistent message to the world that we are faithful to God. That means we don't get to pick and choose which things or which commandments we want to obey. We don't get to impose whatever interpretation on things that I want. I need to go back and read what Jesus says. Out of the abundance of the heart. That's where everything, that's the seat of everything that we think. Far field. And then in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul says, he says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Guard your hearts. That's my responsibility. The question is, are you guarding your heart? Am I guarding my heart? If we're not, then we need to make some changes in our life. A second thing is that people of integrity keep their promises. Keep their promises. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 3, the writer says, "The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them." Integrity is uprightness, and that will guide me. The question is that guiding you? When you decide what you're going to do with your life, is it guiding you, the integrity of what we find that God expects of us and what he wants us to do and what he wants us to be? Are we honest about what we really want out of life and how we live life? Would people, if they knew everything about our lives, would they say, "This is a man and this is a woman of integrity"? What that may mean is that we may need to be making some changes. You see, a real man ought to be the kind of man who brings certainty to his world by the power of his promise. We make a promise to God. When we become children of God, we are promising God that we are going to live the way he wants us to live. And we're not going to find excuses so to where I don't have to do certain things. It is with my whole heart that I desire to serve him. That's a man and a woman of integrity. And oftentimes, we fail in that area. In Psalm 89 and verse 34, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. My covenant I will not break. My promise that I made, I will not renege on. I will not go back. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, that requires a choice on my part, a continuing choice to live by the promises that I've made. God is a God of promise. Should not we be people of promise? A third thing is that people of integrity maintain their values. In Job chapter 2 and verse 3, this is what is recorded. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a blameless and upright man? Okay, if we go around the room, would you consider yourself to be blameless and upright? Would you follow in the Lord's footsteps? Blameless and upright. It is said of Job that he was one that feared God and shunned evil. Do you do that? And still, he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. You see, Job was a man of character. We need to be men and women of character. It's so important. One writer made the statement, he said, a man of integrity does not allow a changing environment to change his standards. Another writer made this statement, he said, morality, like art, consists of drawing a line somewhere. We need to draw lines. We need to live by God's word. When we draw the line, it's not to see how close we can get to the line. Because nobody can take your character from you. You can give it away, but no one can take it from you. They can take your reputation. They can take your money. But they can't take your character. Only you can throw that away. God's man would rather die with conviction than live with compromise. Men and women of integrity, that's who we are supposed to be. In 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 17, says this, I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you out of their heart. Are we walking in integrity? In Proverbs 19 and verse 1, the writer says, better is the poor who walks in integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. In Proverbs 28 and verse 6, and I find it interesting that the same idea, with just a few variations in the words, is presented several times in the book of Proverbs. Better is the poor who walks in integrity, the one perverse in his ways, though he be rich, than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Walk in integrity. Is that how you live your life? Is that what people would say about your life? That you are a man or you are a woman of integrity? Job 27:5 said, "Far be it from me that I should say you are right. Till I die, I will not put away my integrity from me." Guard it with your life. That's what God is asking us to do, is to guard our integrity and our character with our lives. Jesus came to show us a better way about how we should live, about what men show us, what men and women of faith and men and women of integrity, he came to show us what it looks like. And when people choose to give their lives to him, to not make excuses anymore, to not blame the culture or blame my family or to blame my friends, men and women of character do not cast the blame on other people. They go before God and ask for the help that they need. And as Christians, we have an avenue to go to God and pray to him, and he will hear us as we cry to him in our anguish and in our distress, knowing that he is going to hear. He asks us to give our lives to him, to demonstrate our commitment. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. He that believeth in me shall be saved. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Walk by faith, not by sight." This is how men and women of character live. And as men and women of character, we take advantage of the relationship that we have. We take advantage of what God has given us and how he helps us. And it may be that this morning there's someone here that is struggling and needs us to pray for you or to pray with you. For whatever your need, won't you come while we stand and sing?